So, Communion Sunday. I personally love communion. Great day to remember who we are, what Christ has done for us, how we are united together. And that's what we're going to be looking at today in Romans chapter 3. You can open your Bibles with me to Romans 3. But the first way that we're going to see how we are united, actually, the product Febreze helps us to understand a little bit better. How many of you have ever used Febreze in your house at some point, way or another? Did you know, starting out, this wonderful little spray that we have now almost flopped and died right away. Procter and Gamble started out, they put in millions of dollars into trying to get this thing to sell, and it was amazing little technology that actually absorbs and eliminates odor. They made a scentless spray that you can put on anything, basically, and bam, get rid of the smell. Problem was, nobody bought it. They said after months and months, they were about to take the whole thing off the shelf and say, forget it, and just say those millions of dollars went down the chute. But they decided to do some research. So they started going to in-home visits. And one particular visit kind of helps us get the big picture of what happened here. There was a couple of guys that went in to a lady's home who happened to have a few cats, 9 to be exact. So, lady, 9 cats, and they go in, and one of the researchers recalls gagging multiple times, trying to keep himself together over this terrible scent. So they sat down, and they're talking with her, and they're just not getting it. Why wouldn't she want to use this? And they asked, what do you normally do about your cat smell? And she says, well, it's normally not a problem. I said, do you smell the cat smell right now? And she just smiled and said, no, isn't it great? That's what's so wonderful about my cats. They hardly ever smell. And the researchers had a little light bulb that went off finally. You don't smell how bad you stink. Okay. So the first thing we're going to look at today that unites all of us is that we all stink. Okay. We all stink. And I'm not talking about actual smell. I'm talking about our sin. So if you're there with me in Romans 3, Paul has been writing to the Romans, telling them how he wants to come to them. He wants to give the gospel, to be able to enrich their lives with the truths of the gospel, of how Jesus died on the cross for their sins. But as many of us know, the gospel doesn't necessarily start right with Jesus. Before we need a savior, we need to realize that we need to be saved. We start and look, and Paul starts in Romans 1 and 2 going through just how bad we are and how wicked we are and how we are storing up for ourselves wrath from God because God hates our sin. And then Paul looks at the believers, and you look at Romans 3 and verse 9, and it says this: what then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. I realize in my own life, and I think when we really dwell on this, we all kind of understand that we don't see how bad we are on our own. We don't think about how terrible of people we are. We don't think about how we've turned away from God. We live in a sin-cursed world, right? We're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by problems. You know, maybe you realize that you sin, but, you know, growing up, well, sister or brother's worse than I am, or that guy down the street is worse than I am. And until we compare ourselves with a real standard, with who God is, with what God has expected humans to be, we don't really see how bad we are. See, verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's the opposite of what God is. God is righteous. God is always right, always does what's right. And yet, when we look at ourselves, we see how short we fall. This is something that we struggle with even after we're saved, right? When it tells us in verse 11, there is none who seeks after God. Just think about when you sin. Think about the things that goes through your head. Are we seeking God? That's not exactly what it is, right? Every time that we sin, we are seeking our own way. We're seeking our own pleasure. Just ask yourself, what am I trying to get out of this? And every time that we decide to make something sinful, the answer is always going to be, I'm trying to get something for myself. Okay? Why do you act so proud? Because I want others to look up to me. Why are you acting so mean? Because I want something from this other person. Why do we sin? Because we're selfish. Because we are not seeking God, the only one that can give us real satisfaction, and we decide instead to turn from him and to go our own way. We see we're naturally opposed to God. And what God wants to show us in his word today is that first, we can be united when we come to this church and knowing that we are all broken. We are all broken people. Okay. I don't suggest that we do this, Pastor Brendan, but we could change our slogan to come to Grove Bible Church. We're all messed up. Okay. Nobody comes here and has the, you know, I've got it all together kind of thing going on. We all have problems, right? We all come as sinners in need of God's grace. So when we come here, when we come and we be unified together as believers, we're not unified as people that are perfect as our own. We're unified as people that need God together. And we can see in that guy that's struggling over there and, you know, he needs some help. We don't have to look down at him like, oh, man, you know, that guy can't get it together, or that lady, she's just so needy, or whatever it might be. You know, that kid keeps kicking the back of my seat. Okay, well, he's a sinner, so what do you expect? You know, we come here and we realize we're unified. And this is what Paul is telling them. There's no difference between whether you're a Greek or you're Jew. It doesn't matter what your background is, what color you are, what country you're from. We all need Jesus just the same. So when we come, we look at the beginning of Romans 3, we see we are united by our brokenness. Look really quick here at verse 19. 19 says this, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, the Jews here thought that their salvation could come somewhat by how well they kept the law. Or the Gentiles thought that they could get to God by how good they were. Everyone knows, everyone has a conscience, we all know what's generally right and what's generally wrong. God tells us that he puts that inside of us. But he shows us that when we compare ourselves to God's standard, to the law, we all come short of that. And the purpose of that is so that all of our mouths will be stopped. I kind of think of it like when you catch a kid red-handed. Okay, he's in the middle of doing something that you told him specifically not to. You know, you told him, do not take that cookie. 5 minutes later, you walk in and he's got chocolate smeared all over his face and part of the cookie is still in his hand. And you say, what are you doing? And the kid's just kind of like, I can't say anything. I know I'm caught. And that's what happens with us. All of our self-righteousness, all the stuff that we think, you know, this makes me better than the next guy. This makes me, you know, approved by God. When we look at ourselves according to the law, we just have to stop with our mouth open. And we can't say anything. We know God requires perfection. And I don't meet that. So, we're unified by our brokenness, but not just that. We're unified by God's righteousness. Look at verse 21. It says this, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He's saying, I'm going to show you what the righteousness of God is. And God shows it to us apart from the law, apart from you trying to do all these good things, apart from you trying to work your way there. I'm going to show you where God's righteousness is really revealed. Now, he says the law and the prophets bear witness of it. The whole time in the Old Testament, God has been pointing to what's going to come. All the way back in Genesis 3:15, talking about a Savior that's going to come and to remove our sin and to give us his righteousness. So that, here it is in verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we are united by God's righteousness. If you look back at verse 22, it says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Nothing that we could do could remove our own sin. All of the ways that we have broken God's law, no matter how much good you could do past that, could not balance the scales. It couldn't equalize because the sin is still there and God requires perfection. I can't remove sin. But God, in his grace, sent Jesus Christ. God came to earth and died for our sins. And everyone who believes in him, the righteousness of God is put on us and in us. So when God looks at us, he no longer sees that wicked, stinky person. Instead, he sees his own righteousness. The righteousness of Christ that I can't earn through obeying the law. I can only receive freely. That's what verse 24 says. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified. Justified means that you're declared righteous. That when God looks at you and you come into the courtroom, you know, into God's courtroom, and if we start to plead for ourselves, right? We said, if we look at just the works that we've done according to the law, our mouths are stopped. We have nothing to say. But when I come into God's courtroom and I'm coming under what Christ has done for me, then I can point to Christ. And when I point to Christ, he gives me justification. He makes me righteous before him. They said, instead of seeing me, he sees Christ. And it's very interesting because verse 24 and 25 kind of show us two different things. At first, it says we're justified freely. You don't have to pay anything for it. You didn't have to work to gain God's acceptance. You didn't have to, you know, walk 1,000 old ladies across the street. God gives it to you freely by faith. But what it took to give you this salvation wasn't cheap. Verse 25 says this. End of verse 24. That is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. See, that big word propitiation, it means satisfaction. That Jesus satisfies everything that God demands. All the righteous demands of God were satisfied by Christ. What does the law teach that our sin deserves? Our sin deserves death, right? Everything, all the wrath that God wants to pour out on our sin because it is so wicked, because it is so opposite of who God is, because we have directly rebelled against what God wants us to be. We deserve God's punishment. But Christ was the full satisfaction. He came to earth perfect through Mary, right? Perfect child. The Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus. Jesus, who is God, lived a perfect life. Every place where we sinned, he was perfect. Every place where we would have fallen, he stood. And then we come to the end of his life. And Jesus died for the sins that he did not commit. He took the wrath that we deserve. Wrongly accused, Jesus was brought before judges. They judged that he deserved to die, was brought up onto a hill, whipped, beaten, spat on, and nailed to a cross. And that was because of my sins. And because of your sins. Because God cannot be just unless there is a punishment paid. The offenses that we have done, the crimes against God that we have done deserve death. And someone has to pay it. Someone has to receive this wrath. And that was Jesus. He was our propitiation. He was our satisfaction. And now, as believers, we who have trusted in what Jesus has done, we're united under God's righteousness. So we're not just those old people that were slaves to sin, that could do nothing right on our own. We're no longer bound by what we have done or defined. We're not that old person anymore. What we are, how we are united, is by God's righteousness. When God looks at each and every one of us who have trusted in Christ, we are righteous in His eyes. See, the law, us trying to keep the law, this couldn't show God's righteousness. But what does is that God saves people that don't deserve it. That if I could earn my way to heaven, that would show my righteousness. If God was the one that saved me, even though I didn't deserve it, it shows His righteousness. And that's what these verses continually go over, how God's righteousness is demonstrated by saving us. So, we're united by our brokenness. We're united by God's righteousness. And the last thing I want to look at is that we're united by our faith. If you look at verse 27, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, it gives all the conclusions to what he's just been going through. Verse 27 says this, "Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." Our law, our faith does not break the law. God gave the law, telling us what was right, what was wrong, how the Israelites should live, and it was good. But the purpose of the law wasn't to save you. The purpose of the law is to act like a mirror, to show us just how ugly our sin is. Now, how many of you wake up in the morning, look at the mirror, you see there's probably some stuff you need to fix? You pick the mirror up off the wall and start rubbing your face with it. The law wasn't meant to save you. The law is there to show us what's the problem. Jesus is what saves us. Jesus is what gives us His righteousness. I can't fix myself by trying to keep rules. The only way that I'm ever going to be fixed is by God's grace, by a free gift that God gives me. And this is what the church is all about. This is how we are united, by our faith. Again, verse 29, it says, "Or is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also." There was this split in the Roman church, Jew or Gentile. God wants to tell them, you're all the same. You all have sin. You can't do it on your own. You're broken. You all need Jesus. You all need His righteousness. And the only way that any one of us is saved is all through the same way. It's all by faith. It's all by putting our trust in Jesus and not in ourselves. And this is the heartbeat of the church. This is what unites us. We don't come together here and we're not connected just because of this building. We're not connected by our skin tone or what country we live in. We're not connected by how much money we have. We're connected because we are saved by faith in Christ. We're connected because God's given us new life. And we can encourage each other in this new life that God has given us by our faith. We can encourage each other to, instead of trying to live out the law, instead of when we sin, trying to be good enough till we would finally pray to God and ask Him to forgive us, to say, hey, why don't you just treat your sin right now like you treated your sin when you were saved? When you sin, you ask God to forgive you. Like was quoted already, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We come together because of our faith. We're united because what we believe has changed us and is true. And at the end of the age, and saints from all ages and times are gathered together, we're going to be around Jesus and people from every tribe and tongue and nation are going to be around the throne of God and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We're all connected because of Christ, because we've put our faith in him. And we can point to him and have our righteousness in him and not ourselves. And I want us just to think today, before we take communion, to pray within ourselves and ask God to search us. As I talked at the very beginning, it's hard for us to see on our own just how much we stink. It's hard for us to see on our own what we smell like because we're used to it. Ask God today to show you what is it that I have in my heart, that I have in my life, that I need to get right with you. God, what is it that I need to ask for your free grace to forgive me of? Not that I can work towards it to get rid of that sin, but that I can be forgiven today through what Jesus has done on the cross. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that Lord, that you've saved us who've put our faith in you. God, I thank you that you've united us around Christ. Lord, that although we can't save ourselves, that we have no righteousness of our own, that all of our goodness and righteousness is from Christ. And Lord, I thank you that we can know that we are saved and we can know that we're on our way to heaven if we've trusted in you. And Lord, I pray that now as we are about to take communion, Lord, I pray that you would cleanse our hearts, that you'd help us to be humbled before you, and Lord, that you would show us what areas we've just become used to, what things in our lives that we can't even sense anymore. And Lord, I pray that if there's sin in us, that you would show it to us. Lord, that we'd repent of that and find free forgiveness in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.